What do I mean to pray for that person when I don't care to do anything on my part? What's the use of saying, pray for China? Lord, grant the gospel get into China. Do you mean it? What's your part? What's the use of praying, Lord, bring the gospel into China, when you have not the slightest intention to do anything on your part for it? And in every respect, if we are praying for the church, or praying for a person in need, or praying for the outreach of the gospel in China, or praying for any particular work, there is no point praying for anything if you don't intend to do something about it. That is, if you can do something about it. Of course, if I am penniless myself, I can still pray for somebody in need, even though I have nothing to give that person. That is a different situation. But where I can do something, I must do something.
这是对我们看到祷告的另外一个很重要的原则，是什么原则呢？就是你为某一件事情祷告的时候，那么你第一步要问我自己愿意为这事情做什么。你真的愿意上帝的名被尊为圣，那你必须愿意他的名在你的生命里面被尊为圣。如果上帝的名不在你的生命里面被尊为圣，他到哪里去被尊为圣了？ 意思是不是说愿他的名在别人的生命上被尊为圣？这不就假冒为善吗？我如果真正祷告愿你的名被尊为圣，我的意思就是愿你的名在我的生命里面可以得到荣耀，是不是？那这个原则在任何方面祷告都是如此。比如一个弟兄姐妹，他有经济上的困难的话，我为他祷告说：主啊，你赐给他衣食啊，让他衣食充足吧。
那你自己的钱放在你口袋里面，你不去帮助他，你为他祷告是什么意思？除非我实在一个钱都没有，我当然还是可以为他祷告。但是我没有钱，我还是可以为他祷告。但是如果我能够帮助他的话，而我不帮助他，那我这个祷告就是假冒为善，一点意思都没有。所以同样的，如果我们为任何事情祷告，或者为教会祷告，或者为祖国祷告， 我们除非愿意看到我们自己的责任是什么，那么我们这样的祷告就是实在没有意思，还是不如不祷告才好。不然呢，你在上帝的面前显出来自己是一个假冒伪善的人。我为中国祷告，那么我不再想一想看，那么我怎么样可以为中国做一些什么事情呢？或者我可以有什么贡献呢？或者现在不能有什么贡献，我将来还有什么贡献呢？我现在可以为那个将来有什么预备呢？ 这种东西我们必须要先想清楚，才是真正的祷告。 From all this then we see the important principles that come out from what seems to be a very simple prayer brings out a mass of important teachings of the Word of God. What mass of teachings? We see that God is holy, utterly different. That becoming a Christian means to become utterly different as well. That when people look at you, they say, wow, he is different. And we are not afraid to be different. No, Christians are afraid to be different. We are not afraid to be different if by being different we are truly holy, not different by the sense that we wear out-of-date clothing, wear all kinds of odd garments, behave in strange ways. I don't mean different by being queer, but different by being holy, that people can see, wow, here is a man who you know is righteous, is fair, is kind, is loving. All these things you can say of this man. He stands out from the crowd as different. And if you have listened to this prayer, and if you pray this prayer, then the burdens upon you through the coming week to go out to your home, to your college, to your office, and there let people say, wow, this man is different. There is something different about this man. He stands out from the crowd. And I don't mean different because you talk more than anybody else. And that's not a very good thing to be different with. But to be different because of the quality of your life. Not because you just wave a big Bible around. Everybody can do that. But the question is whether your life stands out as different. And so we see that here is something exceedingly important. We see that it brings in the principles of regeneration, the principles of basic principle of prayer, that we can pray for nothing and we have not the right to pray for it unless we, on our part, are prepared to say, what is my part in doing this that God wants me to do? It, however, leads us to one final and exceedingly important point is this. What happens then if we do not live this holy this sanctified life? Does it matter whether we are sanctified, whether we are holy? Let me tell you, the Bible's words are explicit on this point. That without holiness, nobody shall see God. It is not a question that it is good for a Christian to be holy. It's rather nice to be holy. It's rather nice that he is kind and different from other people. It is essential for him, because without holiness, you are not a Christian. Without holiness, you will not see God. In this respect, our calling, our whole purpose, our whole meaning of life in this world is to be holy. In Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, four times God said to the people of Israel, "Be holy as I am holy." Not once, not twice, but four times. He ordered, he commanded the people of Israel to be holy. We must be different if we are going to fulfill our function, our purpose in the world as Christians. And this we must bear in mind. We have not become Christians just to save our own necks and save our own skins. We have been saved in order to fulfill the task. And that task is to point the world to God. You either are a true Christian and you are fulfilling that function, or you are not a Christian. Either you are always pointing people to God by the kind of life you live, or else you are not a Christian. God is not being sanctified in your life. Don't become a Christian just because you want to run away from hell. Because if that's the only reason, and that's the only reason why you're still a Christian now, you won't go very far down the road. When you become a Christian, God has given you a task, and that is to sanctify his name in the world. And I beg of you clearly to remember it. But what if you do not fulfill that responsibility? Let me tell you that there are various stages of fulfilling that responsibility. And I'm going to point you to the example of Moses. The example of Moses rather chills and frightens me and keeps me exceedingly humble. And I understand now why Paul said, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Nothing so disastrous as a self-complacent Christian. Have you ever wondered why Paul said in Philippians, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling"? Because God is a holy God. Also in this, that if you do not honor his name as holy in your life, he's going to disown you because you don't properly represent him. Let me give you the example of Moses. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, I'll tell you the incident, which is already quite well known. Moses was a mighty man of God, of which it was said of him that he, God, spoke to Moses face to face as with no other man. Moses was God's chosen and holy instrument, totally set apart for God. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Moses led the Israelites through the wilderness to the promise, towards the promised land. But Moses himself never entered the promised land. Do you know why? Even though he was a man of God of a stature that nobody else, no prophet could compare with him. As God said, "I never speak with any prophet as I speak to Moses. I speak with him face to face as friend with friend." But Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. You know why? Because for one instance, in one incident, he did not sanctify God's name. Now the charge brought against Moses is exactly that which we have in the Lord's Prayer, except that it's the reverse. He did not hallow God's name in his life in one incident. And because of that one incident, God said, "You shall not enter the promised land." If you look at these words in Numbers, and you will find it there in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12, which I'll just read to you. In chapter 20 and verse 12, we read these words. God says to Moses, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me Notice these words, to sanctify me, to hallow my name. That's exactly the same word in the original. To sanctify me in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. You did not honor my name as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore you shall not enter the land of promise. This same thing is repeated once more in Deuteronomy, in much the same, with the same word referring to hallowing God's name. And in 32 verse 51, and I read this to you again. Because you broke faith with me, God is speaking to Moses, in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Sin, because you did not revere me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. You did not revere me as holy. You did not sanctify my name. You did not hallow my name in the midst of the people of Israel. Therefore you shall not enter the land of promise. You know, the complacency with which there are those people who sit back and say, talk about their being saved and saved forever, really frightens me. When I consider the account of Moses, it really makes perspiration come up on my brow. Here was a man, flawless in all his life, a man of utter and absolute consecration and dedication to God, a man whose meekness was said to be incomparable. There was nobody who could compare with him in all of Israel, in holiness and meekness. But in one incident, he did not hallow God's name in his life. And God said, you shall not take the people into the promised land. The very purpose for which Moses was raised up out of Egypt, the very purpose for which Moses led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, was to bring them to the promised land. But he could not fulfill that promise because he did not hallow God's name. I would like you therefore to see the importance of these words. Hallowed be thy name in us. Hallowed be thy name. Because I tell you this, no matter how holy your life is, how holy my life might be, if we fail, we may fail of God's promises too. Remember, God is holy. We are dealing with a holy God. It doesn't mean that Moses was lost. It doesn't mean that Moses perished spiritually. No, no, we thank God he didn't perish. We know that at the transfiguration he appeared with Elijah. Moses and Elijah appeared at the transfiguration. He was still with Christ. It doesn't mean he was lost, but he lost the blessing. He lost the blessing and the privilege of leading his people into the promised land. Let me warn you then, and let us take warning of this, that if we are careless in not sanctifying God's name in our lives, and fulfilling the responsibility of our high calling. What is our high calling? Our high calling is to hallow his name in this world. That the whole world may say, wow, God is like that because look at him. That's a Christian. And when I look at him, I can see what God is like. That's our responsibility. Don't shirk your responsibility. God doesn't let you get away with it and say, well, we are all full of faults, you know. I'll make a few excuses for yourself. God knows we are full of faults. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to enable us to live the life. Notice the word Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who enables us to be holy. Without him, we cannot do it. We cannot live it. Nobody suggested we can live the Christian life in our own strength. Only by his power can this be done. And therefore, because his power can accomplish it in us, because as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, we are without excuse. There's no use saying, Lord, and that day in the judgment, you see, we are all human only. We are only human. As though that is some information that God didn't discover before. Consider then again the instance of Moses. This mighty man of God was deprived of the blessing. After all the toil of enduring the Israelites for so many years, of entering the promised land. What was his crime? What was his sin? Only this. There was no water at the time. And Moses was ordered to bring water to the muttering, complaining people of Israel. He was ordered to do two things. First, speak to the rock and command the rock to bring forth water. And second, when you have commanded it, strike the rock with your rod, the same rod that you struck the waters of the Red Sea with. Moses did only the one, not the second. He did the second thing, but not the first. He did only one of those two things. He did not speak to the rock, he only smote it in his anger. And he said the wrong thing. He said, "Shall we bring forth water out of this rock for you stiff-necked, rebellious people? Shall we? Who is we?" Only God brings water, not Moses, not anybody else. Who is the we? And why did you not fulfill the entire commandment? You see, God was going to do a tremendous and amazing work in front of all the people, that his name would be hallowed in the eyes of the people. What work? The people were thirsting. They were parched. They were dry. God was going to do a mighty work that would hallow his name, that would sanctify his name in the eyes of the people. What work? Moses would stand up before this great multitude upon the rock, and he would speak to this rock in God's name and said, "Bring forth water out of this rock." Well, everybody knows no water comes out of a rock then. But he was going to speak to this rock in God's name. And having said so, would that stick that parted the Red Sea, the stick of authority, of God's authority, he would just smite the rock and the water would gush out. He didn't do that. He didn't speak to the rock. In his anger and annoyance with the people, he had forgotten everything about the word of sanctifying God's name. He just took the rock and he bashed the stick upon the rock. I mean, he took the stick and bashed the stick upon the rock. The water came out, all right. But he had not fulfilled the purpose of glorifying God in the eyes. The people would have fallen down before God if he had just spoken to that rock, just touched that rock. Water come out. Wow, the people would have... But no. In his fury, all the people could see was his anger and everything else. The whole message was lost. It was all lost because of his anger. Now, you might say that was a rather small sin, really very small. And in part, perhaps the people would not have been very... wouldn't have been stumbled or disturbed by this. I mean, he was rightly angry in a way. He was really heavily provoked. In the eyes of men, Moses did not commit any kind of a serious crime. But in the eyes of God, he had failed to do. It's not what he did, what he did, it's what he didn't do. That's what the charge brought against him. What he did not do was that he did not hallow God's name in the eyes of the people. Here is the lesson for us, brothers and sisters. The question is not whether you have committed any grievous sin or not. Moses did not commit anything. I don't think the people of Israel would have raised any brows about the fact that he was a little bit angry. And the Bible didn't say his face turned red like Guan Gong or anything like this. It's just that he was rather angry and he struck the rock. That's all. He struck it twice. The scripture didn't say he was not allowed to strike it twice. It doesn't matter very much. That was not the point. The point is that he should have just spoken as God's representative, having died to himself and being a new man. But the point is not what he did, it's what he didn't do. This is the point you must get clearly. It is that he did not hallow God's name. So the point we must remember is this. It is not whether you didn't do anything bad, whether you did not live a life that is radically different from the non-Christian. The point is this, that you did not hallow his name in the eyes of the people. That when people saw you, they did not say, "Wow, that is a Christian." They didn't say, "Wow, God is wonderful. If that's a Christian, I want to be a Christian." That's our function in the world. I became a Christian when I saw the Christians in China. I looked at them and I said, "If that's a Christian, then I want to be a Christian." But those Christians before in the missionary schools and those, I said, "If that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian." God's name was not hallowed in my eyes through them. But in the eyes of through the Chinese Christians, God's name was hallowed in my heart. I said, "That's a true Christian. Those are Christians. God's name was exalted." Now that's your responsibility. Don't go out here and say, "Well, I didn't commit any sins." That's not the point. Or maybe I committed some small sins. That's not the point either. It's not whether Moses committed any great or small sins. That's not the point. The point was he failed to do something. He failed to hallow God's name in the eyes of the people. And so, brothers and sisters, that's our responsibility. On that day, when you and I stand before God, he's going to ask you the question, did you hallow my name in the eyes of the people? In your office, in your college, in your family? Did your name, did my name be hallowed in your life? Was my name hallowed? Were the people able to say, wow, these Christians, they are something. They are really different. Look at that. They stand out from the crowd. They are utterly different. The trouble with us is that we are not holy because we are so much like the world. We behave like non-Christians. We think like non-Christians. Think back through the, even recent history. What kind of names stand out for you? It's always the same names. The people who hallowed God's name in their lives, they always stand out in your memory, doesn't it? For me, people like Yang Zijie, the people Henry Choi, people like Song Shangjie, like John Song, these people, they stand out from the crowd. They were different from the crowd because God's name was hallowed in their life. That is our high calling. May God speak to each one of us, that we may really understand these words when we pray, hallowed be thy name. When you pray that, remember your responsibility, or don't dare to pray it. But even if you don't pray it, it only proves you're not a Christian. Because every true Christian will pray this prayer.
我们在祷告的时候，我们从这里可以看到，上帝在我们的心里面工作，就是使得我们完完全全能够改变。 上帝的荣耀在我们的身上能够显现出来，那么这一切的教训，如果我们不荣耀上帝又怎么样呢？我跟你讲，我们跟大家弟兄姐妹讲，我们如果不荣耀上帝的话，我们的责任实在是太大。在那一天站在主的面前的时候，我们这个责任怎么样来负责呢？怎么样负担呢？所以我们刚才看到摩西书，在这个民数记里面。 第二十章第十二节那里看到，我们看到什么呢？摩西虽然是上帝的仆人，虽然在他的生活里面几十年里面都是分别为圣，但是他有一件事情没有荣耀主，没有让上帝的名分别为圣在他的生命里面，因此他就不能进到迦南地。 我请弟兄姐妹仔细的想一想，上帝一方面是何等的慈爱，但是另外一方面，在圣洁的这个问题上是何等的严格。摩西是上帝的仆人，上帝非常爱他。上帝说，在所有的人众人当中，就是连先知当中，我没有跟一个人面对面谈话，就像我跟摩西那样谈话。 他是何等爱摩西，但是摩西因为没有尊神的名为圣，在他的生命里面，在一件事情上，就是在旷野没有水的时候，在那件事情上没有尊上帝的名为圣，上帝就不允许他进到迦南地，他就在对面山上死掉，眼睛望到迦南地，而不能亲身进。 允许的地方，这个不是说摩西因此而灭亡，当然没有这句话说。摩西不是因为这件事情而灭亡。我们知道主耶稣在这个自己被改变的时候，在那个山上显出他的荣耀的时候，有摩西有伊利亚同时显出来，所以可见摩西在这个时候还是跟耶稣在一起。 但是他失去了上帝要给他的祝福，给他的福分，就是让他能够进到应许之地，并且带以色列百姓都进到应许之地，这个就没有了。所以，如果我们不分别上帝的名为圣在我们的生命里面的话，我们也将要失去上帝要给我们的祝福。他不但如此，我们才可以学到另外一个功课。 摩西所做的那件事情，并不是犯什么大罪，在人的眼光看起来，这个罪是很小很小的。他 根本没有做什么大罪，没有犯什么大罪。但是这个不是圣经里面的问题，圣经问题并不是他所做的是什么，乃是他所没有做的是什么。所以跟我们生活一样，基督徒生活也是一样，不是说你做的是什么东西，说我犯的罪很小啊，都是普通人所会犯的罪啊，这不是那个问题。问题是他所没有做的，他所没有做的，圣经里面在这个民数记跟生命记里面都跟我们讲到，是他没有让上帝的名在他的生命里面显现为圣，因此呢他就不能进到这个应许之地。这里面我们可以见到的功课是何等重要，可见到保罗所说的话的意思是什么。在腓立比书说，我们要带着战警的心来活出这个救恩的生命来。我们要知道我们带着战警的心是什么原因呢？如果我们不在万人当中，在我们或者就算我们认识的熟人当中，或者在学校里面，或者在办公室里面，或者在家庭里面，没有显出上帝的生命在我们的生命里面，没有尊上帝的名为圣在我们的生命里面，我们要失去上帝要赐给我们的福气，我们的福分。不但如此，如果我们一直不像摩西单单一次失脚啊，没有活出一个荣耀主的生命来，天天这样去活出这样不荣耀主的生命来，我们在主的面前那一天怎么样来回答他，怎么样能负起我们的责任来呢？所以当时您说我们都是软弱，当然我们是软弱，所以我们有圣灵，请大家注意，圣灵为什么称为圣灵，就是他能够分别我们为圣。圣灵的工作就是给我们那个能力来活出圣洁的生命来。上帝知道我们是软弱的，我们审判的日子跟上帝说我是很软弱，这对上帝来说根本不是新闻，是上帝所以因为知道我们是软弱，所以把圣灵赐给我们，好让我们能够活出这个圣洁的生命来，把我们所需要的力量全部已经交了给我们，所以我们根本没有借口不活一个圣洁的生命来。所以今天我们看到什么叫做愿你的名被尊为圣，我们从心里面发出这个祷告的时候，就是说主啊，愿你的名被荣耀，在这个世界上，在列国当中，在万人的眼睛里面得到荣耀，在我的生命上显出你的荣耀来，靠着你的力量来完成我这样的祈求，我的这样的祷告。 So may God speak then to us out of his living word and show us the things which are so important that we may see what kind of heavy responsibility is laid upon us. So in conclusion, let us see what this prayer then means. Our Father, which art in heaven, may your name be glorified as holy in my life. That is the prayer. So that the multitudes of the people may be drawn to you. What is my motive for glorifying God? Because he loved me so. What is my motive for glorifying God? Because the people in the world cannot know God except through me. Are these not sufficient motives? How are the people out there going to know God if they don't know God through me? How are they going to know God if they don't know God through you? Is the Bible going to drop out of the sky into their laps? How can they hear the message of eternal life if it doesn't come through you? But remember this, that the message comes most eloquently through the life you live than through the multitude of words. We are mostly better at talking than at doing. So fall back upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Never try to live God's life in your strength. You will never make it. But if you say, Lord, this is my prayer, and remember, this is a prayer to God that he will do it in me, then mean it, and he will do it. Let God come into your life in the fullness of his power, and he will do it. He will change you and make you utterly different. That wherever you go, people will say, wow, this man is different. And they will ask you, why are you a Christian? Then you can tell them. And many will be then drawn to God because you have hallowed his name. You have sanctified his name in your life.
Let us be quiet before God in prayer.